I don't want to get too far away from our friend Lazarus, but something that you find in his story is something that we've been hearing about this morning also. So we're not really going to go too far into Lazarus glorifying God. That's what we're trying to do this week. If you've just come, we've been yesterday we started to look at John 11 and the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And then there are certain things in that story. He first of all, as we were hearing yesterday, he died. He's dead, but Jesus went to wake him up. And the Lord can do that. We're all dead. We're dead in trespass and sin, but he comes to wake us up. And he does that by his word. He called Lazarus' name. And I think we ended yesterday with that thought that there's power in the word. When the Lord calls us, when he speaks with authority, not like one of the scribes, where the comments the Pharisees made when Jesus was around. Where did this man get these words from? It's not necessarily the words that he spoke, it's the authority by which he spoke them. And it was perceived, it was recognized. They recognized that two people can quote the same thing, but one of them is speaking with authority. And Jesus was the one with the authority, although he didn't have the letters. He didn't have the PhD, he didn't have the degree, but he had the authority. Because that authority was given to him by his Father. And the words that he spoke, he says, I didn't speak anything of myself, I spoke the words that my Father gave me to speak. And they all came with authority, and even before Jesus was, when he was in the past, and nothing was made by him, that is Jesus, that wasn't made. We read in John chapter 1, and there in heaven, somehow or other, right at the beginning of creation, where somebody there in the Godhead, and it probably was Jesus, said, let there be light. What authority there was. He just spoke the word. And there was power in that word. And so light came, and then he spoke again, let there be, and there was. Let there be, then there was, let us make man in our image. And they made man, Jesus, God, made man in his image after his likeness and breathed into him the breath of life. All by the word of the Lord, creation came into being. And throughout all of the Old Testament, the word of the Lord spoken by whoever it was, by the prophets or by just the Jezreels or whoever they were in the congregation, as they spoke the word of the Lord, there was a word of authority that came, because it wasn't their words, it wasn't their thoughts, it wasn't what they dreamt up one evening or one day, but it was something that God gave to them. And we read, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. And that's every one of us, not just preachers. But as you speak, you can speak as the oracle of God. The words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, may they be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you're the one with the ultimate authority and power. But Lord, we have your word. You put your word into our mouth, the word of faith which we preach. So Paul says to the church at Corinth, you go out into wherever it is that you go, and you've been committed a word of reconciliation. It's not your word. It's not what you came up with, but it's a word that was committed to you by God. And that's a word that comes with authority because it's God's word. And we're not ashamed of the word of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the power that there is in that word. And all again, through the Bible, we can come up with 100 stories or more of how the word of the Lord came. God spoke. And the centurion, we alluded to it one of these past meetings, you don't have to come even where I am. There's such authority and power just in your word. If you'd speak the word, we read, he sent his word and he healed them. And we're thankful that that word of God, it lives and it abides. What's the next word? Forever. Forever. That word of God lives and that word of God abides forever. And as we've been thinking about anxieties and cares and burdens, why, there's power in that word of God. and in the promises of God, to stay ourselves upon them and to trust and believe them. And I thought of that little segment you find in the story of Pilgrim's Progress. I think all of you maybe are familiar with the allegory that was written years ago by a man when he was having one of his difficult times in life. He was in jail. And in prison, he wrote this beautiful, penned this beautiful work that I guess, at least in part, Pilgrim Camp, Pilgrim's Progress. And we know the story of the progress of Christian and faithful, and how they left their home and they started on a pilgrimage. They started to go towards the celestial city. And they had a lot of ups and downs and in and outs as they traveled that road. They were that highway that we talked about, Isaiah 35 mentions, and other places also. They were on that way, and they left, and they came through different trials and difficulties, and things were thrown at them, and on the way. And you find they first got to the cross. And you remember what happened at the cross? You remember, you ever see the video, or did you ever read the book with the pictures in it? What happens at the cross when I guess it was Christian, he knelt down there at the cross, and you remember the next scene?
He lost his burden.
Rolled away. His burden went rolling away. And that burden of sin that he had carried, we sing in one song, for years, night and day. But then I got to the cross and that burden rolled away. But they kept on going. And all the places you can read the book, it's a long book. But it's a good book to read and to study. But they decided one day that the way that they were on, the way that led to the celestial city, it was a straight and a narrow way. And it wasn't always easy. They thought the path maybe could have been a little simplified. They didn't have to go through this way that they were being led because, well, we see another path. And that path seems a little easier on the feet. Not so hard to walk. You know, sometimes you get on a path like that. Ooh, that hurt. What's underneath there? Well, those rocks or pebbles or whatever it might be. But there's a grassy path. There's an easier way. And so they got off of that straight and narrow way. What a mistake. And sometimes that happens. We take a detour. We get sidetracked. We find a shortcut, so we think. And so they did, and they started on this path. And it led them, well, they thought, parallel to the road that they were on, but that imperceptible drift that you read about in Hebrews, that Hebrews writes to those Christians there, he says, watch out, lest you let these things slip. You drift away imperceptibly. You don't even realize that you're drifting. But if you're just a little bit off, if you go far enough, a little bit off, you'll be a long way off. If you go just a little off for 20 yards, you wouldn't be hardly off at all. But if you keep going a day or two or three, and after you go 4, 5, 6 miles, after you go across the United States, you might miss the airport in L.A. and wind up in San Francisco. And that would be a big off because you just deviated that little bit, but you went far enough. And as these two, Christian and faithful, went off on the bypath meadow, it was called, and they found this place they thought of refuge. Some place where they can camp for the night. They didn't have to be outdoors. Indoors sounded good to them. And so they went into this. It was a castle. Remember what the castle's name was? Castle of Doubt. That's a bad place to live. Castle of Doubt. You got doubts? Hath God said? Really? I don't know if I like that. I don't want to do it. Huh? Really? No, I'm not sure. I doubt. Maybe I did come from a monkey. Or maybe there is no heaven. Or could it possibly be? Could the blood of Jesus, though? You get into these funks, these doubts, these questions. Well, they were plagued by that, and they camped out there for a little while. And you know who the proprietor was? The Castle of Doubt. Who was the owner of it? Ah, now you're catching on. You remember him. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of a Christian man. And I don't know what he said when he marched around, but the giants, it was the giant despair. Despair. Sister Marianne said she was 14. She despaired even of life. But you know, we're in pretty good company. Because there's another man that I know of. His name was Paul the Apostle. And he says, his own testimony was, I was in such a predicament. It was so hard and difficult for me that I despaired. I despaired even of life. I don't know if he was 14 or 28 or 37, but whatever he was. And there he was in a place, and we get into a place sometimes too where we despair. Young people, it's not only young people, it's old people, it's people. And in life that we live in 2024, I think maybe the anxieties and the pressures, maybe they are encroaching more and more, and you feel them more and more, and they lead more and more people into a castle of doubt with a giant despair. So here, Christian and his cohort were faithful. And they were there, and they really couldn't escape. They were found out, and they were locked up. And it was a prison to them. They couldn't find the way out, or they wanted to. You know, and everybody in jail wants to get out, I think. Although that's not true. I know of some, one time, I knew of someone that wanted to get in because they have color TV in jail and he wanted to watch something on TV, a sporting event. Well, no friend of mine, just somebody that I'd heard. But most people in jail want to get out, but they can't. They're stuck. It's easy to say, you know, why don't you just walk away from your doubts and walk away from the despair and walk away from that which holds you sway. It's not that simple. Did you ever hear somebody say to you, don't worry about it? That's easy. It's easy for you to say. It's easy for you to say, don't worry about it. Hakuna Matata. Does that mean? Don't worry, be happy. No, don't worry. Just be happy. Don't worry about it. It's easy to say those words, but it's hard. And sometimes people wish they could not worry and be happy, but they seem to be stuck in a place where they have to worry and they can't be happy. But then sitting there, and I don't know how long they were there for, but all of a sudden they remembered. All of a sudden, it took a long time. It takes too long sometimes for us to remember. That when we had been visiting, I think it was the shepherds. I'm not sure who gave them this, but I think it was the shepherds. They gave to us a key. They gave us a key. You remember what the key's name was? Key of... No, that would be a good key too. That's one on the chain. She said hope. I heard joy. But what was it? Promise. That was the key that was given there. Now, you got a key of hope and a key of joy, use it. It's a good key. But this one was the key of promise. And when they were given the key, they were told, you might find yourself one day in a place where you don't want to be. You might find yourself in a place where you're stuck, where you couldn't get out anymore, and you don't know up from down, and you don't know how to deliver yourself of it, and maybe you're filled with anxieties and depression and despair and burdens and all the rest of it, and you got it because you asked for it. It's through nobody else's fault but your own. You should have stayed on the path. But you know, to kick yourself when you should have, could have, would have, but I did, you're not going to get anywhere by bemoaning the fact that I should have, but I didn't. Okay, now here's where I am. How do I get out and get back on the path? How do I get back on that highway of joy that leads to the celestial city, That's what I need to know. And here they discovered, oh, we've been given a key. Those keys are the promises of God. Those keys are the Word of God. The Word of God that's quick and powerful. The Word of God that can open up any lock. You got keys like that? The master key. It can open up any lock and undo any tangle. It can get you out of any despair in every situation. Oh, but you don't know my need. Oh, I don't need to know your need. You got a key that'll unlock that door and let you get out, whether it's body, soul, or spirit. He wants to lift us above. He wants to open up the prison cells, and he wants to set the prisoners free from despair, from depression, from anxiety, from doubt. And so they just, oh, what's the matter with me? What's the matter? How come it took me so long? I've done that before. I've worried about things. I mean, not long ago. I got always things to worry about. Anybody got things to worry about? It seems like everybody, life just has things to worry about, and so you're worried about it. And then all of a sudden, why worry? When you can pray, bum bum bum, trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting earnest. Rest fully on his promise. Why worry? Worry, worry, worry when you can pray. And I got a key. So they pulled out the key and they stuck it in the lock. Sure enough, it worked. They turned to the quarter, open up the lock, and shh, don't make any noise. But we got to get out of here. If you remember the video, at least the one that I saw, they tried to open the door to escape, the big, big door, because the big, big giant had big, big doors because he was a big, big man. And at least it looked to me like he was bigger than Goliath. And he was like a fee-fi-fo-fum kind of guy. And all of a sudden, as they opened the door, at least I can still hear it, the door went, some doors do that. They didn't have WD-40 in those days, so they just had to live with it. The door opened. Oh, no! More to worry about. But they didn't worry. They kept on going and walked right through, and the giant came running down after them, and they ran out of the castle of doubt. They ran out of the castle of doubt, chased by giant despair. But they said, feet don't fail me now. You're not going to catch me again and bring me back to that place. I'm free. I'm free. I'm gloriously free. I don't have to be bound by despair, by doubt. I don't have to live there anymore. I'm free. I got a promise. And I'm standing on the promise of God. And I believe that he's able to keep me. And he's able to free me. And he's able to lift the burden, the little burdens of anxiety, the big burdens of depression and despair. Oh, thank God, you have a key, the Word of God. It can lift Lazarus out of a grave. It can answer your need and unlock your doors. And so use the Word of God. Use the Bible. And if I could just, and maybe this is too practical, but this book is like no other book. You can go down to the bookstore and you can find a lot of good books. You want to read a good book about prayer? I recommend this one. Amen. You want to read a good book about praise? I recommend this one. You want to read a good book about how to keep from sin and how to overcome victorious? I recommend this one. You want to know how to find God's will for your life? I recommend this book. I recommend this book for everything, because this book has everything that I need, everything that we all need. And it's from time to time to eternity. It never gets outdated. Fill your heart, fill your mind, fill your soul, not just your head. Fill your heart, fill your mind, fill your soul with the Word of God and meditate on it day and night. And then you'll become like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Your leaves won't wither, and whatever you do is going to prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly will not stand in the judgment. Sinners will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And it's blessed are those who meditate in that word of God. And so fill your hearts, fill your minds, read the Bible. You know, one of the greatest blessings of camp is you go down there on Sunday when they've been in camp for 3 or 4 days, and they stand up, these little cottagers, and they start quoting scripture. I mean, whole passages of scripture. I mean, like 6 verses of scripture. And they're not looking off a cue card. They're reciting by memory. You know how long those cottagers are going to remember those verses that they've learned? Forever, all their lives. Those things are going to come back to them because the Holy Spirit can remind them and the Holy Spirit can keep those things. And how often it's been the testimonies of cottagers, little kids, the Word of God instilled in Sunday school, in kids club, vacation Bible school. That Word will not return void. Why? Because that Word is powerful. That Word of God is living. And that Word of God abides forever. And so the depression, the despair, the everything, oh, that word of God, stand on that word of God, feed on that word of God, let it dwell in you richly. And I'm not going to quote it because I can't quote it. I could read it and I have it. I think it's in right here in my Bible. The one book, the only book, the great book, God's book, your book for eternity. That's what Sister Robinson said. This one book, God's book, it's a great book. It's a book for eternity. And if you keep out of this book, you keep out of the life of God. But if you get into the words of God, Lazarus, come forth. And not only do you come forth, but you live by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Oh, thank God for it. There's a song, it's in the hymn book, Thy Word Have I Hid in My Heart That I Might Not Sin Against Thee. The Bible songs are 150, 60, something like that. Number 159. 159. Let's sing it together before we go into our day. 159. Is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path always, to guide and to save me from sin and show the heavenly way. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Shall we stand together and sing the last verse, that last stanza? Though him whom thy word hath foretold, the Savior and morning star, salvation and peace have been brought to those who have strayed afar. Thy word have I hid in my heart, sin against thee, might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Now today at 4:15, there's a staff prayer meeting, staff and guest prayer meeting. And all of you that are here are welcome to join for 45 minutes in this room. And so come if you're able to, 4:15 this afternoon. And you heard, I guess, on Sunday, I believe that today's the day that there are survivor games down there at the beach this afternoon, weather permitting. And so if you're interested to watch the boys and want to see them in their games, I guess you can be down at the water and you'll be able to enjoy that. And our prayer meeting tonight at 8:15 here in the meeting house. Father, we commit ourselves to you for this day. We pray that you'll go with us. We pray that we'll hide your word into our hearts. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.